Vermont courts were shut down or severely restricted for nearly 2 years during the COVID-19 pandemic. That caused an unprecedented backlog of criminal cases that still hasn't been resolved. More than 15,000 are pending statewide today, double the number before the pandemic. The judiciary has made some progress at reducing the backlog. But as Vermont Public and 7Days found after spending a week at the Chittenden County Criminal Courthouse, the system is strained. Technical difficulties, scheduling pileups, and defendants who struggle to appear, often due to homelessness and drug use, made it difficult to carry out even basic judicial functions. Vermont Public's Liam Elder Connors has more.
It was just after 9 a.m. on a recent Wednesday morning, and Judge Kevin Griffin was ready to start the trial of Ashley Richards. The jury was waiting in another room. The prosecutor and Richards' court-appointed attorney Harley Brown were there, too. There was one problem. Richards was missing. Griffin asked Brown if there was anything he could do.
Do you have any contact information for her at all?
Not any good contact information.
Richards, who's 40 and homeless, was accused of assaulting and robbing an elderly man in 2022. Richards had been sleeping in an ATM vestibule in Burlington when the man entered in a motorized wheelchair. Richards, prosecutors say, waited for the man to withdraw $100, then punched him, grabbed his cash, and ran. In the 2 years since the incident, Richards had picked up nearly 24 more low-level charges and frequently failed to appear for her court hearings. Everyone hoped the 2-day trial would bring some resolution, but without Richards, they couldn't proceed.
Unless anyone has any other creative ideas.
Chief Deputy State's Attorney Sally Adams spoke up. A Burlington police detective in the hallway said the cops had an idea where Richards pitched her tent.
And so I'm trying to see if maybe somebody can find her.
Richards' situation is not unique. Vermont courts have always had to deal with people who struggle with homelessness and addiction. But the pandemic has exacerbated those problems, and that can make it harder to resolve even relatively straightforward cases. Josh O'Hara is the supervising attorney for the Chittenden County Public Defender Office.
If we could get somebody housing, if we could get them into sober living, would it make things resolve a little quicker? Probably, because you're really addressing those underlying things that probably brought them to the court system to begin with.
It's been hard for Michael Doherty to make his court appointments. The 30-year-old homeless man struggles with mental health problems and drug use. He's accused of punching an emergency department nurse while seeking treatment for suicidal thoughts. He also faces two counts of trespassing in Burlington City Hall Park, where he'd been banned after overdosing there twice in 1 week. He says the park used to be a place where he found community.
I was blue both times. I died. Like, you're gonna give me a charge or trespass me from the only place that was helping me. I was slowly but surely getting off of opiates at that point in time. It was like a little lapse.
As he walked down Church Street, Doherty explained that he has memory problems. And without a phone or an address, he can't keep track of his court appearances.
Whether it be in court or like mental health or like substance abuse counseling or anything of that nature. And it sucks. It really does.
It's not just people missing hearings that bog down the court. Cases that run long can make it harder to finish everything that's scheduled, and tech problems derail routine hearings.
Did you hear that? Hello?
I can hear you, but not
okay.
Really. Yeah.
Okay, try it again.
One recent arraignment was scuttled when the translator, who appeared over the phone, couldn't hear anyone in the courtroom, prompting the judge to complain.
This is the best we got.
They changed our phones?
We just cannot efficiently get through even the cases that are scheduled.
That's Chittenden County State's Attorney Sarah George. According to judiciary data, Chittenden County's total number of cases has stayed roughly the same for the past 2 years. George says a lack of administrative staff and poor time management by the judiciary are making it harder to reduce the county's criminal docket.
We've had days where we'll get an email from the court in the morning and it's just like, we're combining two courtrooms because we don't have a judicial assistant. So it's a nightmare. You don't get through anything the whole day.
Judiciary officials like Chief Superior Judge Thomas Zone say they are laser-focused on the backlog.
The judiciary is not overwhelmed.
Statewide, there's been a 17% reduction in the number of cases, and the judiciary's new budget funds three new judges, which Zone says will help.
We're going to continue to keep making the efforts to address the administration of justice as we go forward.
It was unclear if the administration of justice would go forward for Ashley Richards on this recent Wednesday. Nearly an hour after her trial was set to start, police picked her up from her tent, which was nestled in a residential neighborhood, and brought her to court. But Brown, her attorney, told Judge Griffin that Richards wasn't in any condition for the trial.
She hasn't had any medications of any kind. So I suspect that sometime this morning it's not going to be well.
Instead, Brown said he and Adams had just hashed out a plea deal. Richards would plead guilty to larceny from a person, a lesser felony. Richards told Griffin she'd take the deal.
I mean, I'm okay with the plea agreement. I mean, I'm sorry for being late this morning. I live in a tent. I don't have electricity. It's not the easiest. It's not that I don't want to be here. I don't take this serious because, I mean, this is my freedom. This is my life. I take this very serious.
After the hearing, Brown said he felt a little queasy. He wondered if he and the court system were helping people by allowing them to spiral for so long on the street. But he says he doesn't have any answers.
I can't argue that, Your Honor, it might be in my best, client's best interest, maybe to sit, forced sitting in jail or rehab until we can resolve these cases.
Judge Griffin ordered Richards to be held in prison until her sentencing, which was scheduled for Friday. But once again, she didn't show up. She was going through severe withdrawal and couldn't be transported from prison. Her sentencing would have to wait for another day.
Think we have to reset?
Yes, Your Honor. I don't know.
Despite the chaos of Richards' case, the week of May 6th had managed to be a productive one at the Judge Edward J. Costello Courthouse. By Friday, the court had disposed of 122 cases, twice as many as were filed. Many of the cases that were taken off the docket were resolved with plea deals. These deals are designed to be good for everyone. They resolve cases more efficiently and with less risk than a trial. Defendants can trade the uncertainty of the pending charges for rules that discourage them from breaking the law and, in theory, help them get their lives on track. One person who took a plea deal this week was Alexander Miller.
Okay, why don't we take Mr. Miller?
Okay. Miller hunched over in the courtroom gallery, picking fuzz off the Velcro of his backpack. It had already been a long Monday morning for the 39-year-old Colchester resident. It began with an 8 a.m. trip to the methadone clinic in South Burlington. And now, a few hours later, Miller was at the courthouse in downtown Burlington to take a plea deal.
Okay, we're here with Alexander Miller. Let me know when you're all set.
Miller's latest raft of charges began in late 2021 when he was arrested for drug possession. He'd pick up over a dozen more charges, including trespassing and fleeing the cops. The deal on the table this morning would resolve all of Miller's cases and allow him to avoid prison.
Okay. Any disagreement with those facts, Mr. Miller?
No, Your Honor.
So you committed this offense in Colchester on January 16, 2022?
Yes, Your Honor.
At that time, had you been operating?
Miller was sentenced to 3 years of probation.
And all other charges are dismissed without prejudice.
He shuffled out of the courtroom and headed to the court clerk's office on the floor below. Miller's got a thinning crew cut and stubble. That day, he wore a T-shirt and bedazzled cross necklace. Miller also had trouble walking. His feet were wrapped in thick bandages covering festering wounds caused by xylazine, an animal tranquilizer that's frequently mixed into street drugs. Miller says substance abuse is at the root of all his troubles with the law.
I have struggled with it ever since high school. I got into drugs because of girls and fast cars. Alexander Miller?
Miller arrived at the court clerk's office and filled out some paperwork to make his plea deal official.
You know where probation is?
Oh, yeah, of course.
They'll be waiting.
Right, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next stop, the state probation office, which is housed next door to the courthouse. Miller stopped along the way for a smoke. The plea deal, Miller says, is motivation to stay off drugs. If he got high, he could violate his probation and end up in prison.
I mean, it doesn't take much. You piss dirty. You know, you pick up one charge for anything. and you can turn that, you know, 3 year hanging out here sentence into 3 years hanging out in there real quick.
Miller knows what it's like to be in prison. He'd been in and out over the years and at one point spent more than 2 years locked up. It was tough being inside.
You gotta go lock down, you gotta go to your cell for head count, which is like 6 times a day, you know, at different times. They'll go head count and you have to go to your cell and be counted, you know, see if anybody's escaped. So you get used to and build a routine.
But Miller didn't expect it to be so hard on the outside too. After he was released from his 27-month stint, Miller says he went to the University Mall in South Burlington to buy earrings. He pierced his ears in prison and wanted some cheap diamond studs to replace comb picks he'd been using.
I walk in the food court and, you know, the U Mall, nobody hangs out at the food court, you know what I mean? It's pretty dead. But even just the size of it, you know, and the, I walk in and my heart started racing, pounding. I ran out of the mall and I didn't know what I was feeling. And it was that. I was institutionalized.
Back outside the courthouse, Miller finished his cigarette and hobbled into the probation office.
Can you hear your last name?
Miller.
M-I-L-L-E-R?
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Miller stepped up to the counter. A clerk handed him a thick packet of forms to fill out. Nearly 45 minutes later, an intake officer snapped two mugshot-style photos and ushered Miller through a metal detector. The intake officer led him into a dim conference room to go over his probation conditions.
So you shall not be convicted of another crime or engage in criminal behavior. You shall give your probation officer your home address, mailing address, email address, phone number.
The intake officer told Miller to come back for his next appointment in 1 week. Miller went outside and ordered an Uber back to his parents' home in Colchester. He hoped that this was the beginning of the end of his troubles with the law. But he acknowledged he'd said that before. For Vermont Public, I'm Liam Elder Connors.